Good morning. Welcome to the Board of Public Works. We're pleased this morning to again start by recognizing some very deserving state employees for their outstanding work. We like to recognize people for doing great customer services, which has been a kind of focus of our administration for 5 years. And we have a couple of people that have been nominated by their folks in their agency for doing an outstanding job in that regard. So we're gonna be recognizing them with customer service awards for their outstanding work. And joining us this morning are two state employees from the Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Agency. I'd like to welcome Melanie Lossover and Bavan Smith. Let's give them a little round of applause. So as digital manager of the Creative Services Division, Melanie is responsible for the agency's social media presence. She's in charge of communicating with their 124,000 followers on a daily basis, in addition to being proactive in managing the their agency's social media. She's always very quick to respond to customers, keeping them informed and listening to their concerns, and she has been commended for staying on top of industry trends and recommending new tactics and also having a great sense of fun and creativity. So Melanie's knowledge base, attention to detail, dedication, and her always pleasant demeanor help the agency present itself in a way that has developed a large and growing social media audience, which helps the agency in its mission to generate revenue for the state.
Could I hire her?
Yeah, you gotta have her. They want to keep her where she is. But it sounds good. I'm gonna get to her first. Bavan Smith is the human resources officer, positively affecting the agency's customers by providing excellent service to her colleagues, and her job involves unique challenges, including sometimes having to deal with unpleasant situations. But she is a tireless worker, always has a smile on her face, and it's a pleasure to work with. Her attention to detail, her caring nature, and enthusiasm help boost agency morale. And both Bavan and Melanie, I want to thank you very much for the great work that you're doing to improve customer service at the Lottery and Control Agency. I know there's a big group of your fan club who's here from your agency to support you, including Director Gordon Medenica. We also have with us the co-chairs of the Customer Service Initiative Work Group, Mike Panalides, who's the Executive Director of the Office of Small Business Regulatory Assistance, and Allison Cordell, the Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Performance and Improvement. So let's have everybody come up here. Let's give them another big round of applause while we take a picture. And
And maybe some of your teams can go on both sides.
Yeah.
There you go. I think that's good. You guys can squeeze behind us. These guys can put the smiles on their faces. Keep everybody happy. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're going to... So the comptroller and I are going to fight over you two. Gordon is going to lose both of you.
No way.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. All right, with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues for any opening comments. Madam Treasurer?
Governor
I love this way of opening the meetings.
Me too.
I mean, it really is. And I have to warn people out there that I just muttered to the governor, really should do interviews with these people, too, so we can learn and keep for posterity the lessons of how to deal properly with people. No, I'm just, it's a pleasure and a blessing to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you. I agree completely with the treasurer, and thank you, Governor. Over the last 2 weeks, my agency has announced a series of measures aimed at combating the youth vaping epidemic that has negatively impacted the health and safety of hundreds of thousands of children across the nation, and tens of thousands of children here in Maryland, who have become addicted to nicotine through vaping. These are not smokers getting off of smoking dangerous cigarettes. These are kids that are vaping in school bathrooms around the state, and it is unfortunately something that's already done a lot of damage to our communities. So I felt the need to take immediate action. We have been waiting for a long time at the federal level, and the FDA several weeks ago finally put out their regulations to ban flavored cartridges that have grown in popularity among underage consumers. And the FDA is establishing stricter oversight over the multi-billion-dollar vaping industry that has ballooned in size over the last few years. But here's what the FDA also did in a little noticed footnote to their announcement about banning candy and fruit-flavored vaping products made by Juul and Blue, the big companies, that had already apparently agreed to get rid of the flavored vaping products. They specifically legalized and said disposable candy-flavored vaping products are exempt from the directive that these vaping products be restricted to tobacco-flavored and menthol-flavored, I guess is what they ended up with. So to our shock, the FDA made an exemption, I guess a gaping loophole you would describe it, that stunned us at the state level. Because these are exactly the products that kids are flocking to in convenience stores and gas stations all around the state. Disposable, fruit-flavored, mango, berry, and other things that are strictly designed simply to attract kids. So when I say it's an ongoing immediate emergency, I mean it. It's out there. It's happening right now. So our legislature downstairs, they're considering a number of bills related to this subject, but I happen to think that we shouldn't wait a single hour, especially if we have regulatory options to address this serious public health crisis. That's why last week, utilizing my legal authority as Maryland's chief tobacco regulator and the regulatory discretion granted by the FDA's new regulations, albeit with this gaping loophole, I directed my field enforcement division to not only strongly enforce the FDA's ban on flavored cartridges, the Juul products, but we issued a regulatory directive that wholesalers and retailers, of whom there are about 9,000 around the state that have tobacco licenses, can no longer sell disposable electronic smoking devices. Period. No more cheap, convenient, affordable, attractive nicotine delivery devices that kids are flocking to as we speak. So I'm happy to enforce whatever bills the General Assembly passed later on this year in concert with our regulatory actions, but I believe that Maryland cannot and must not sit idly by. As our kids are getting addicted to nicotine and are getting hurt by these unregulated products that in many cases are marketed directly towards them. In addition to our regulatory action last week, Governor, this past Monday marked the last meeting of an EFACS task force, which I had convened. We issued a 26-page report that outlines the issues we covered during our deliberations, as well as 12 policy recommendations that are practical, measured, rational, and will accomplish, in my opinion, our shared goal of providing proper regulation to this industry and end the youth vaping epidemic. The legislature, for example, can take up these policy recommendations to ban all internet and mail order sales of electronic smoking devices, require ESD manufacturers to provide component and ingredient listings in the state, which they're more than happy to do. By the way, the report has the support of the vaping industry, who have no interest, based on the testimony at our task force, in hooking our young kids on nicotine. Okay, so we need the ESD manufacturers, the vaping companies, to provide component and ingredient listings to the state. We need to increase criminal and civil penalties of straw buyers. The legislature will do and can do, and I'm sure is looking at all of those things. Internally, my agency will be taking swift action to implement recommendations that can be accomplished through the rulemaking process, such as requiring retailers to purchase and use ID scanning technology for each tobacco sale without the possibility of a machine override. In most of the stores now, the kids have, you know, you have to show an ID, but you don't have to prove that it's a legitimate ID. That's only proven if you put it in an ID machine, which can be purchased and is affordable. But what happens in the retail stores is that the clerks are trained to override the machine confirmation. So it's not to mean that that we don't have a cooperative retail sector. We do, and they want to do the right things, but we're going to have to require this technology for each tobacco sale without the possibility of a machine override, an education training program for retailers upon renewal or issuance of their licenses as to how important this issue is, and establishing a disciplinary protocol for retailers who sell to underage consumers repeatedly. These are all very practical, common sense, rational proposals that I believe have a wide consensus among all of the groups that were involved, and they'll go a long way of reducing vaping use among our youth. I'm very grateful for the participation of almost 40 members of the task force, which included public health experts and leaders, parents, educators, policymakers, and vape shop owners. And I compliment them once again to my – I was surprised in a very positive way by the fact that these business folks came forward and said, we don't want anything other than to help people get off of dangerous cigarettes. But we are opposed to what's going on, which is the unbelievable addiction of a whole generation of young people who find smoking repulsive. They think smoking cigarettes, because it's such a stigma, it's terrible. But they're getting hooked on these fruit and candy-flavored, disposable, concealable, affordable vaping, what are they called? Devices. Disposable devices. So it's, to me, something that's very concerning because literally these addictions will hurt kids and their families and the state. We're not unique. Every state has this problem. But we're sending all of this information, Governor, and the report to the legislators. We're also sending it to my peers around the country. And I just want to make sure people understand that this is something happening in real time.
Thank you.
Sorry to go on about that. But
important issue. Thank you. We'll go start with the Secretary's report.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I'm very pleased this morning to introduce the Board's new Recording Secretary, Ms. Lisa Grigsby. Oh. Lisa's rejoining the board staff after having previously served as assistant recording secretary and has really hit the ground running and has done a phenomenal job. I'd also like to thank Ms. Lisa Johnson, the board's records manager, who filled in for the past two meetings after retirement of Missy Hodges in December. This morning we have 12 items on the Secretary's agenda, and there are 4 reports of emergency procurement. Happy to assist with answering any questions.
Any questions on the Secretary's agenda?
I just want to note item 2, which is a license for Washington College, gem of an institution. Last October, I attended the dedication of the Siemens Griswold Environmental Waterfront Academic Building, and this system that we're approving today will bring ambient water directly from the Chester River to support a teaching and research lab, providing faculty and students the unique ability to study river ecology and marine organism biology in a controlled, state-of-the-art marine science. If you have ever the chance to be over on the shore and visit Washington College, it is a gem of an institution. But this particular building that is now going to be able to provide us with a generation of new leaders in environmental sustainability, I would urge everybody to stop by. And, Governor, thank you for and your agencies for giving them the license that they needed to have access to the river.
Thank you. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Yes, there.
Items 8 and 9 from Morgan State University.
Kim McCalla is here, the
Kim, I didn't see you.
Associate Vice President for Facilities Design and Construction.
Thank you. Great items. I have no problem with this item at all. But I noticed that you say you're striving to meet LEED Silver.
Yes.
Could you tell us, not right now necessarily, because you're pre-construction design, but later on, how you meet it?
Oh, sure. And just so you know, all our buildings so far have met either LEED Silver or Gold. But yes, more than happy to give you the details of how we plan on meeting it.
Yeah. And 9, the maintenance program.
Yes.
I thank you. I just got a copy of your report to the legislature in the fall. And if you could keep us on top also of how the progress that you're making directed towards the entire, you've got a good set of work, you've got some money now, and if we could just follow how it's accomplished.
No problem, because each project will be coming down for approval, so
right.
We'll keep that.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I have a question about A2, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Item A2 is an emergency procurement for Oracle Software. Mark Nugent is here from MDOT-CSM.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Nugent. I have a question about this item. This is a purchase order for 1 year for Mythix for Oracle Software services and support. It costs the taxpayers $1.8 million. My concern is not with the specific arrangement here, but the fact that it seems as if Oracle is controlling this procurement, in essence deciding for us what vendor is going to be selected. So if you could help me understand what exactly our relationship is with I think Oracle is my concern right now, not these vendors.
Sure. So this is actually it's the COTS master contract, which is under the purview of the Department of Information Technology, and they can best answer your question more than I can because we were a very narrow, limited scope with how we could operate. So I'll turn that over to Secretary Leahy.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry about that. But
nice job passing the buck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, Governor.
Can I just interject right here? My understanding is there are several departments which have been delayed in the work that they can do, causing really significant problems.
Yes.
Because of this dispute with Oracle.
That's
so
correct.
It's more than just even... Yeah. What is it? Yeah.
Well, good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Michael Leahy for the Department of Information Technology. Oracle has changed their terms and conditions and included terms and conditions that are not viable based on state law. I'm going to let Howard Barr, our counsel, speak to that. Very bluntly, we thought we had this settled and solved with Oracle before the holidays in December. And since then, They keep changing the terms that are acceptable to them. We respond to them very quickly, typically within a day or two. And our last communication with them was on February 4th, and we're still waiting to hear back from them about their intent. So to your comments, they're taking the position very simply that because the state uses their software and their methodologies, they are effectively holding us captive because of the need for security patches and other things in the hopes that we will adopt their conditions and, in effect, change what is required under our procurement and our state provisions. So, Howard, would you like to speak to the legal issues?
Good morning. Howard Barr from the Attorney General's Office. Yeah, I think Secretary Leahy sort of encapsulated. I'm not exactly sure what the backdrop is here. Part of me thinks that they never looked at the Cox master contract in the first place. Then they finally looked at it, saw a number of things that were troubling to them or are perhaps inapplicable to their COTS products. So we were able to work through a number of items, and we're down to really one issue, which is the order of precedence with respect to the terms and conditions of the contract. We thought we had that resolved. I thought we were going to have this done by Christmas time. But they've since come back and tried to rejigger and put a an Oracle license agreement up above the RFP, which we've told them time and again that we're not going to do. And so we're waiting to hear back from them on that.
So, but we need to approve this $1.8 million contract, I take it, since it's before us. But you're going to work on some resolution of this issue so that the state is comfortable?
Yeah, we've continued to work with them on this resolution. As the Secretary said, you know, they'll give us a proposal. We get back to them within a day or two. And then now we're on, I think, 2 weeks since we last responded to them, telling them again, no, we can't budge on the order of precedence.
So does it help to do this for a year? I understand originally was the bridge contract to the better, to the resolution of all this.
Right.
But
I think it does because, as we've said, we have had a master contract that they cooperated with fully for the first 7 years, and it is only now in the updating of the specific terms for each agency that they're attempting to implement these particular requirements. As I understand it, this emergency contract is utilizing the terms that we've always found acceptable.
Yes. So MDOT reached a short-term extension with Oracle back in the fall sometime, September, October.
Yeah.
And so this is a continuation of those terms and conditions. So I really think that if we, a year should certainly be more than enough time to resolve this. I mean, I really like to think, and I've taken a position all along that, we're on the cusp of solving this with them.
But you've been on the cusp for half a year.
It's not been quite that long, but it's been much longer than I anticipated. I agree with that.
Let me get this straight. But the reason for the extension is because you haven't been able to resolve this dispute with Oracle. But what is the purpose? You just said you've agreed on the old terms that you've been under for 7 years for this extension. So the whole discussion has nothing to do with this extension. Everything you're talking about that they won't agree to because they have agreed to for this extension.
Yes, they would like to change the underlying terms of the master.
But not for this extension.
But not for this extension.
No, for this
so
extension.
Everything you're saying has nothing to do with this item before us on the extension.
But the reason there's an emergency.
They're just using that to help negotiate the bigger contract?
Right. The conversation we're having right now is sort of
because
the bigger,
of the extension, because the bigger, they won't agree.
It's the bigger picture.
Now what happens? I mean, tell us what the state's interest is in getting this emergency done, in spite of the fact that they've been so difficult.
Yeah.
I'm not here to try to help figure out what makes Oracle happy, but no. I am concerned about the state's interest in continuing to make progress on
Absolutely.
This, despite of the difficulties you've had.
Well, so a number of state agencies are running Oracle, and they need to have maintenance for the software subsequent to its installation. And so this is it's critical that MDOT get this extension.
So the only reason it's an extension rather than a contract is because of this ongoing dispute that you expected to have resolved by before the holidays, and that you have not still resolved it, so we're doing this extension, and you think it might take a year?
I do not expect it to take a year. But I think it's much more reasonable to stop doing short-term extensions, get something in place so that, you know, the anvil can be lifted off each of the agency's heads. So I think it's a good idea for MDOT to go ahead and
take some pressure off of us on their hardball negotiating on the contract.
Well, and Governor, the other aspect of this, as he said, a majority of the maintenance underlying these contracts are the security patches to maintain the security within our network. And we believe it's critical that we keep those as up-to-date as possible.
Yeah, you can feel free to send the transcript of this conversation to Oracle, because we don't like Oracle telling us that we have to hire their vendors for all of our state agencies just because their software has been updated in some agreement. And so at some point, you know, last December we did $308,000 for this in another contract, I guess, and we were then very close to a relationship with Oracle. But to the extent Oracle thinks that they can dictate to the state of Maryland who we're going to hire to do maintenance is just wrong. And you tell them we're watching. At least I am, as the controller.
We'll reiterate that message. We've been
like the
giving them that
they're
message.
They're trying to change the agreement, which they've already accepted, that we've been under for seven years.
That's correct.
Just arbitrarily.
Well, of course, Oracle is not a party to the state's contract, but because its resellers are the entities with whom the state has a contract.
But we're dependent on that.
That's correct.
Okay, so I think
we've got to move the item. And,
I'm happy to move the item. I really was just using it as a message that you can't allow them to get involved in the procurement process in this way. Otherwise, it's way too much power to one company. I'm not quite sure what the resolution is that they will accept, but let them know, at least as far as my seat over here, we're watching this thing very closely. And we don't like it because it sounds as if they're picking for us who we have to hire.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller.
Yeah, so
Do you have a list of all of the agencies and projects that are being held up because of this impasse?
I can certainly get you that list.
I know there are problems with elections, which concerns me greatly.
So.
But I know there are others also.
Yes.
And it would be helpful to air that, I think.
Happy to get that for you.
Right.
Thank you. Good luck.
Other questions? Motion to approve on the second.
Yes, move agenda. Approval.
Second. 3-0. We move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Thank you. Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Jeannie Hadaway Riccio, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We have 7 items on our real property agenda today for which we are seeking approval, and happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions on DNR?
No, except I saw the secretary, I think, was it at the Brew Feast?
At the Taste of the Eastern Shore, sir.
Taste of the Eastern Shore. That was a wonderful event. And
sorry, I missed that one.
Yeah. But
right up my alley.
We appreciate you being there.
Yeah, keep doing a great job, Madam Secretary.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for representing me there.
Yes.
Move approval.
Yes. Second. 3-0 on DNR. Next up, University System agenda. University System, not here. We're going to move on to the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Governor. For the record, my name is Greg Slater, Secretary of Maryland Department of Transportation. The Maryland Department of Transportation is presenting 14 items today. Item 1-AE is being withdrawn, leaving 13 items for your consideration. And we are here for any questions you may have.
Any questions on transportation?
No, just a comment. If you could focus on these Maryland Works projects where you do wonderful things for folks that have disabilities. For some reason, the contracts keep are short term. And Mr. Secretary, anything you can do to you know, give them a little bit of stability.
Absolutely. We do have a number of preferred vendor items in this agenda, so I'd absolutely take a look at
that.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Is there a motion on the transportation?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. We're going to go back to the university system. Good morning. I know they had you trapped out there outside the door. Welcome back.
Good morning. Jerry Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 3 items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions on the university system? Is there a motion?
Yeah, a question. Let me just look for a second.
No. Oh, motion on this.
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 university system. We move on to the Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for the Maryland Department of General Services. Governor, before I announce the agenda, I'd like to highlight something really good in this agenda that's in direct response to an executive order that you issued last June. That executive order focuses on energy use of state-owned buildings and requires General Services to analyze all state buildings and identify the least energy-efficient buildings within our portfolio. Today's agenda includes a master contract, 2020, which addresses submetering to help help the state understand its state use of energy, especially in government campuses like Annapolis, where energy and utilities are wholly metered through a master meter. This venture is a perfect example of how our executive agencies can work together to leverage resources for greater stewardship, which will drive better results for government. And I want to thank the Maryland Energy Administration for partnering with General Services in this effort. Today, the department is presenting 50 items, including 2 supplementals and 1 hand-carried item for consideration. We are withdrawing item 33, and we are available to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I just want to say my condolences to you.
Thank you.
On a big milestone, and my question is, how are you feeling about turning 50? It's very young 50.
Yeah.
But,
I'm coping, and I have a great partner in my wife to help me through this.
A young, beautiful wife. Yes. Yes. Well, any questions on details?
Mr. Chairman, Governor, I'd just like to say that we did hear from Delegate, if I could use the name, Delegate Howard and Senator Elfrith of their strong support for items 6 and 14. The sort of items in
the... Delegate Howard just came in the room here, so thank you.
Great timing.
He's just snuck in, just as you mentioned him.
All right. The sort of items that the state... that Maryland does very well, I think, reaching out and working with the DEAL volunteer fire and with groups all over the state to help this be one Maryland and an efficient modern in Maryland.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for drawing my attention to us.
Thank you, Delegate.
Yes, I also wanted to compliment the governor and his administration, the Department of Labor, for recognizing Maryland New Directions. This is a fabulous group in Baltimore that takes people that have all sorts of addiction problems or legal problems or just down and out on their luck, and they give them employment counseling and all sorts of coaching and career training, and they improve the lives of thousands of Marylanders. Governor, thank you for the grant that's in the program here, and please give Secretary, is it Robinson? Who's over there. This is a great group, and I've visited it several times. I did want to bring up one item on at the end, item 36IT. This is a small item. It's adding $500 million of the taxpayers' money to the existing Consulting and Technical Services Plus, or CAPS Plus, master contract. And I want to once again thank the governor and the treasurer, because we recently modified the Board of Public Works so that contracts awarded under this overall master contract, if they exceed $200,000 individually, they're brought here to the board. So I'm not suggesting this $500 million is the last time we'll see it. I guess my question is, what exactly is the need to, and do we actually fence off $500 million of state spending for 8 years? Why can't we just do one-eighth of this for a year? What is the logic behind us voting for this amount of money?
Certainly.
Thank you. I don't mean to be ignorant about the process.
No.
I'm just, I think you recently spent almost $500 million or completed spending that, and this is to replenish that. I understand it. I guess I'm a little surprised at the need for that amount.
Well, I think there are two factors here that are very important, as you said, and thank you for the opportunity to discuss it. The first is, this is a ceiling for spending on technology through the entire executive branch and other projects that impact your office and the treasurer's office. And so, effectively, what has occurred is in the creation of the CATS Plus program, we have established conditions that are pre-met, so people are pre-qualified to bid on the task orders, which, as you said, do come back to this board, but it creates a level of competition that has not been seen under the standard process that existed before this. So there is considerably more competition under the CATS Plus program than there was under the standard procurement process prior. In terms of the amount, as I said, it is an absolute cap. You know, this money has not all been appropriated. And because of a number of things happening in the legislature this year with regard to the importance of cybersecurity and our commitment to making certain that the state citizens' data and information is protected, we anticipate that there will be spending that is not yet determined, because a lot of it is determined by what happens with those particular bills and whether we have responsibilities for the local jurisdictions or not. And with regard to other programs that, for example, the one-stop program, which we discussed earlier, there are considerable savings because of the automation and the replacement of processes that are currently done by hand throughout the state. And we have a number of legacy technologies. As you know, we've been running FEMA since the early 1990s, and our ADPIC systems that are now being modernized, your office is taking the lead on looking at a number of those questions, are all a result of the fact that we've utilized technology effectively beyond its useful life, and there are options available to us that will lower the cost of implementing new technology, but each of these things is very expensive in and of themselves. So we viewed this in terms of setting the cap as a matter of not having to come back to you each time. If you know the board believes there is reason to do that, we're happy to discuss and entertain it, but because each item will be coming to you specifically, we thought that was the time to talk about the actual spending rather than the cap on the contract.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. If you could, as you draw this down, indicate that how much you're using from the
whole
amount so that you know, we're not 2 years from now facing replenishment as opposed to how long is this in place? 8 years?
Well,
this
will be in place until the money is spent, and our current projections are it will be at least through the end of the administration.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on DGS?
Move approval.
Is there a second? 3-0 on DGS, and that concludes the Board of Public Works.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.